is time now for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire who has braved a storm to join us in the studio. I could be referring to just about any storm at all
at this point. That's right. But, you know, today, that's right. You feel like I've survived, and then you can have a number of storms, and you cross them out.
Survive this storm, right. And then just turn to the back with the word 2020 and a big circle around it.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, history is made of not only this disruptive events, but things that are planned. Mm. There are things that are unplanned, you know, the accidents of history. And this week is no exception. There are some good ones. In fact, we know what happens today in 1787.
Yep. This was planned. This one was planned.
Yeah. We'll alternate back and forth. All right. Yeah, this one was planned. It's Constitution Day. It's when the Constitution was adopted. It was the original, the vanilla version, had legislative, judicial, and executive branch, but nothing else, no amendments. That comes later, thanks to Hillsborough. But, you know, it's fun to look back and notes and realize, you know, you've been talking about this for a long time. Is there anything that stands out that really is exciting for you when you think about
on this particular day?
I know all day long you've been just waiting for this opportunity.
Well, it's funny. I teach American government at Durham Tech, and we're, you know, the first few weeks of the class is basically just like you're covering the Constitution and walking through it all. So I've just kind of had that on my brain for the last couple of weeks anyway. So, you know, right now what are we even on this week? We're on the judicial system this week. So we've moved to Article 3. We're halfway done.
Hey, that's great. Well, you know, that was in Hillsborough. They got to that section of the Constitution, and that was when Samuel Spencer, on July 28, 1788, said, wait a minute, you know, in effect, there ought to be a Bill of Rights. And that becomes a sticking point. It becomes the price of admission for North Carolina to come on board. And actually, it became a groundswell of interest. So when we say the Constitution, we always have to say, well, how Amish do you want to go? And what is the Constitution if it didn't include these amendments? They're not added-ons. They are part of the Constitution. This is, of course, the 100th anniversary when women got the right to vote. Are we going to say, no, let's go back to the way it was originally written? Well, you know, thank goodness there was Article 5 that allowed the Constitution to be amended. Okay, yep. This is a planned one.
Okay, that was planned.
That's right. All right, this is one that's unplanned, and it's happened in 1814 during the War of 1812, and Francis Scott Key goes out to the British when he hears that one of his friends, a Dr. Beans, was being held there, and he negotiates for his release.
Dr. Beans? Was that his name?
Mr. Bean, that's right.
Every single name in history.
Dr. Beans, that's right. So he does, and the British say, well, that's fine, but not until we completely bombard Fort McHenry. And so they do all during the night. And the next morning, of course, there is a flag flying, and it inspires him on September 14th, Francis Scott Key, 1814, to write the lyrics to this poem. It eventually gets published as a poem. It's called The Defense of Fort McHenry, and then it gets put to a popular drinking song. And then it's not until actually the 20th century, under Woodrow Wilson in 1916, who says this needs to be played at all occasions, and finally in 1931, it becomes the national anthem. So interesting, you know, all this happens this week.
What were the lyrics to the drinking song?
You know,
we've had this conversation, like the Star Spangled Banner, like it starts with the British drinking song,
right,
like all great songs do. This yesterday, you know, and
bring me another pint.
But I never knew the lyrics of the drinking song.
No,
like
I think that's been like lost conveniently to history.
Pass a flagon around, and
or maybe it was just the music. Somehow the pairing of the music was like, you know, this goes really well with that poem.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's one that's unplanned. Okay, here's one that was planned in September.
We're gonna get to one where it's
all
just
right,
like it's controversial.
Right, it's,
was this planned? Was it not? I don't
okay,
know.
This is a mix of both. All right. September 16th, 1620 is when the Mayflower leaves the Netherlands and sails across the ocean. Mm-hmm. And that was the plan. They'd been there 12 years. It wasn't the best fit. They finally get some funding, and they sail across. They arrive on, this is the unplanned part of it.
Okay.
Okay, so we have the planned part. We're off and away. They get here. They think they're going to be down towards Virginia. I mean, remember, all the whole East Coast was kind of open, and it seemed like, oh, that was a better place. But there were storms. Finally, they turned back towards what we now call New England, and they knew about that because a fellow named Bartholomew Gosnold, who named Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard, and another little island he called Elizabeth's Island that eventually becomes called Cuttyhunk. So they knew about where this was. They arrive up near Provincetown, and that is kind of interesting because when they do, they realize, well, maybe this isn't the best place. So it takes them, that's in November, that takes them another month or so before they finally say, hey, here's a place.
So the Puritans got to Provincetown and decided to keep going, is
that's
what you're
right.
saying?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
right. I would think
about right.
I think they missed an opportunity.
Like, I think they did, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really something. But at least they put it on the map, I guess.
A lot more so, fun there.
That's right. Exactly. So anyways, that's a mix of the planned and unplanned.
All right.
All right. And then we have one that's planned. This is September 18th, 1947. So we go a couple hundred more years up. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Okanichi Speedway was envisioned. And that's an interesting one because when Bill France and some other racing entrepreneurs were thinking about, let's do racing in the Carolinas, and they're flying over in a plane, and they see an oval track that's actually a horse racing track.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide, hey, that looks like it's a possibility. So they go ahead and they sign up on September 18th, 1847 to incorporate this. The idea of bringing, let's bring auto racing to the Carolinas. And they do, and then it opens up the following year. And they thought originally, well, we have maybe 5,000 people. Well, the stands actually hold 10,000 plus an additional 25,000 on the slopes. And I have seen pictures of those days when this was in full operation. It's the last surviving dirt track. You can go there now. It's a walking trail. It was open from 1948 to 1968.
Mm.
The first race was 10 miles, so it's about a mile-long track. And it's pretty pretty harrowing hearing the stories of these cars racing around. And one edge of this track, it went down the slope right into the Eno River. And I said, did anybody ever crash? And I've talked with old-timers. He said, well, a couple of cars went over, but nobody got hurt.
That's
so
good.
You can go there now and race walk if you want. And,
okay.
Yeah.
It'd be just my luck. I would be the one to fall in the Eno River after all the cars made it through. What was the story of it closing? How did that come about?
Well,
it,
just because they got to a point where they said two things. One, there was the local clergy raised consternation because they said it was too noisy on Sunday morning. So that did it, and that led to NASCAR saying, well, let's find somewhere else. Mm. And then they move on down to where they do it now in Florida and other
places.
Right,
right. So, and this is kind of interesting because like North Carolina is just such a hotbed for NASCAR activity. But if you wanted to go to a NASCAR race, you know, in an ordinary year when you can, Charlotte is the closest, isn't
it? That's right.
Yeah, that's like 2 hours away.
That's right. But that was the place to go. And you could really go see tremendous races. I've talked to people, old timers who were there as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, it was a blast. Sometimes they'd try to sneak in. They would see these great racing legends go around the track. And then in 1968, after it was effectively abandoned, it just got overgrown. And finally, some people who really remembered this, including some of the drivers, said, let's revive this. And mm-hmm. they cleared it out. And now you can go there and see one
That's
of the
awesome.
Last surviving dirt track of the NASCAR years.
And by coincidence, on the same day, September 18th, the first paved racetrack opens in Rhode Island.
Yes, I know. It's kind of ironic. I'm not sure if that one was planned or unplanned.
Well, it was paved. It had to have been planned to some degree. Like,
I know, but maybe that's true. Maybe they said, hey, it's on the same day. Isn't this symbolic?
Oh, like the timing of 1946.
Yes,
maybe. I don't know.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
That's a really, well, and here's one that pops up this week talking about you know, laying the asphalt and so on. Well, in 1793 is when George Washington lays the cornerstone for the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
Also on the same day. Yep.
That's right, because there, you know, there were, the Capitol was originally in New York. So when we talk about the Constitution, we're talking about not only Philadelphia, where they formed it, but when the government is first formed, it's in New York City, and then eventually they have this planned Capitol, and George Washington is part of it. Though, interesting enough, they're not quite sure exactly where the cornerstone is.
I was going to say, like, which corner? Is there a sign, a plaque?
No, yeah, that's one of the things that's kind of those interesting things of history. Of,
I was going to say, I've been on the tour of the Capitol. Yeah. It's a nice tour, but no one mentioned anything about this is the cornerstone.
No, that's exactly that would be why. It's like somebody should have said, don't you think we should do something more memorable? That happened with the signers to the Declaration of Independence.
Trust me, Bob, we're going to be so annoyed by what happens in this building from day to day, we're not going to want to remember how it started.
This will be a great mystery. Well, that happened, you know, in 1892, there was a move to say, gee, wouldn't it be great if we could get the signers of the Declaration of Independence for North Carolina and put them at the Battle of Guilford County Courthouse. And so somebody said, great idea. So they sought permission from the descendants, and two of them said yes. The third one said, well, if you can find it, because one of those delegates had died in Philadelphia, attended by all the dignitaries, but over the years, they kind of forgot where his gravestone was.
Right.
And so, wisely, they said, well, two out of three is okay, and went ahead. But one of those signers is William
As long
Hooper.
As you got a quorum, that's all you need,
that's
really.
Exactly, just, yeah, it's very political in that
right.
sense. And so William Hooper, his monument, or that monument, kept being bumped. And finally, the family said, can we get back at least the headstone? And most of him is still in Hillsborough. So you can actually go there and see in the Old Town Cemetery, if it's on your bucket list, a signer of the Declaration of Independence right here in North Carolina.
Awesome. Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. We got time for two more. What do we got?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, here's one that is, I think it's in the I think planned or unplanned. It happens in 1676, and it's interesting. It's September 19th. And it's known as Bacon's Rebellion. And what it is a fellow in Virginia, Nathaniel Bacon. Now, if this sounds familiar, he leads a group of settlers in a really a revolt against Jamestown and the English governor, and they're rebelling against excessive taxes, loss of self-rule, the governor's refusal to protect them against Native American attacks. I mean, this is like part and parcel of the founding of this country, are people saying, let's do something different. Let's, we're protesting. And this one got a little bit more violent, but certainly that's part of this history. And 100 years later, of course, is when 1776 occurs, and we have another. So it continues on. In this case, it was against an English colonial governor then, and in 1776, it's against the English system.
Yeah.
So it's part of
there are a lot of rebellions in early American history. You've got the American Revolution, you've got Bacon's Rebellion, Shay's Rebellion, the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yes.
These are just the ones that I can remember off the top of my head. Trump gave this speech at the archives earlier today where he was like, well, our kids are being indoctrinated with anti-American blah, blah, and this is why this is why we're having all of these protests today. They're certainly not demonstrating against anything bad. So we're gonna teach pro-American whatever. And like if you taught American anything,
yes,
the first thing that you'll run across is all of these rebellions and protests
that's
and demonstrations,
right,
because that's the history of the country.
You know, and that's so profound because this week on September 15th, 2007, was when the United Nations General Assembly resolved to observe this date on September 15th as the International Day of Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to say, you may not know what it is, but you'll always recognize it. And you'll also recognize when it's not. And I think that's something in our times that we're all getting a cogent lesson in, and it's about things that are planned and unplanned, and that's what makes history interesting and why it matters.
There you go. And that is History Matters Constitution Day edition. We'll do this again in 6 years or so.
That's right.
When Thursday is the 17th
I'll try
again.
I'll find the lyrics to that original song.
We'll come across them. I'm sure they're online somewhere. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.